Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this third Sunday after Pentecost, proper 5, year A. Our readings today, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 to 11, 15 to 20. And chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Psalm 138, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 13 to chapter 5, verse 1. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise him. The Lord is here and we will worship him. The Lord is here and we will trust him. The Lord is here and we will honor him. The Lord is here and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. Majesty, majesty, majesty. Lord, we adore you and proclaim your majesty. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, we adore you and worship you in your holiness. Glory, glory, glory. Lord, we adore you and celebrate your glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we adore you for all that you are and all that you will be. O come, let us adore him. Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us, and we praise you for your glory that reaches the heavens. We thank you for your people who meet to worship in every time and place. We praise you for the millions of your people who have faithfully met to sing your praises, and for those all over the world who turn to you today. We thank you that you have invited us to join your people in time and eternity to give you glory. Amen. We have our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord, Praise to the Holiest in the Height. We pray the collect for proper five, followed by our parish prayer. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant that by your inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding may do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Give Us a King. Give Us a King. After being liberated from slavery in Egypt, the children of Israel were led by Joshua to the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. They gained possession of the land and continued to establish themselves as the 12 tribes. As the people of God, they were to influence the surrounding nations to follow the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. They were to influence the surrounding nations to follow the law, the Ten Commandments and its 613 regulations. Because of their disobedience, this did not happen. In fact, they were influenced by the surrounding nations. In Israel, God raised up leaders, the judges, to lead the Israelites in times of conflict. With God's guidance, the judges enabled Israel to successfully defend their land. However, that did not satisfy Israel. They saw that the nations around had kings who led them into battle. Not understanding that God was their king and God gave them victory over their enemies, Israel desired to have a king to rule over them. Samuel, as prophet and leader, guided Israel for many years. He was now getting old, and his two sons, like Eli's before him, did not follow in their father's footsteps. Instead of serving as faithful judges over Israel, they took bribes and perverted justice. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3b. The Israelites pondered, who will guide Israel after Samuel is gone? Instead of relying on God to provide a leader as God had done in the past, the people, influenced by their neighbors, asked for a king. The elders of the 12 tribes came to Samuel and asked for a king. They said, give us a king to govern us like other nations. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5. They are influenced by the other nations, and they wanted what they had. Samuel is distraught by the idea, because he knows that Israel is not like other nations. They were God's special people. Israel did not need a human king. God was their king. However, Samuel prayed to the Lord. He was probably surprised by the Lord's response. The Lord granted the request, pointing out to Samuel that they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. 1 Samuel 8, verse 7b and 8. Samuel informs the elders that their request had been granted, but warns them that not only would having a king change their governance structure, but it would be costly. Kings would take their money, their lands, their livestock, their sons and daughters, their slaves, and their freedom. In addition, with a king, they cannot expect the Lord to rescue them from other kings. Samuel warns, "And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourself. But the Lord will not answer you in that day." 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 18. Give us a king. God gave them a king, Saul. Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go down to Gilgal and there renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed offerings of well-being before the Lord. And then Saul and all Israel rejoiced greatly. 1 Samuel 11, verse 14. Saul as king was disobedient to the Lord, and God removed the spirit from him. However, under David and Solomon, Israel prospered. David united the 12 tribes into one great nation, while under Solomon, Israel prospered greatly in material things. Solomon built a magnificent temple to the Lord. However, under the influence of his foreign wives, who he had been forbidden by the Lord to marry, Solomon led the nation to the worship of idols. After Solomon, the nation was split into two. 10 tribes under Solomon's son, Rehoboam, formed the northern kingdom of Israel, with Shechem as their place of worship. And 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, formed the southern kingdom of Judah under King Jeroboam and worshiped at the temple in Jerusalem. Under the rule of many kings, the northern kingdom was overcome and destroyed by the Assyrians. While the southern kingdom was attacked by the Babylonians, the temple was destroyed and the people taken into exile. Give us a king. Kingship by humans did not work for Israel. However, God in love promised David that the kingship of Israel, nay, of the world, would remain in his line. God, in the fulfillment, in the fullness of time, acted and sent Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, into the world to usher in a new kingdom, a kingdom not of this world. God sent a king, born in a stable, born to lowly parents, a carpenter and a peasant girl, to live among the people, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit at his baptism by John the Baptist, and affirmed as God's beloved son. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Luke chapter 1, verse 32. To save humankind, God sent a new king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to teach, to preach, to heal, to give himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. However, the people did not acknowledge him. John remarks, he came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. John chapter 1, verse 11. In today's gospel, Jesus is accused of being under the authority of Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons, he cast out demons. Mark chapter 3, verse 22b. Jesus points out to them that if his authority to exorcise demons came from Beelzebub, that would mean that Satan is casting out Satan. He remarks, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Clearly, Jesus' authority does not come from Satan. The people failed to acknowledge that a new king was present, and his ability to drive out demons, the agents of Satan, was the sign of a new kingdom, a kingdom with different standards from the kingdom of the world, a kingdom based on love, God's love for us, and our love for God, and our love for each other. When his mother and brothers sent to call him, Jesus the King, sent from God, redefines family. The only father that Jesus acknowledges is his heavenly father. Therefore, the family of Jesus consists of who do the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Mark 3:35. The King of Kings calls us into a new relationship with God and each other. The question is, do we acknowledge Jesus as our King, or do we desire another? Amen. Let us pray. We will wait for the Lord. Our hope is in your word. Lord Jesus, crowds flock to see you. As we kneel before your presence, draw us together to become your body, the church. Give us thankful hearts with which to praise you. We will wait for the Lord. Our hope is in your word. Lord Jesus, some questioned your sanity and motives. Stand alongside leaders and elected representatives as they grapple with the pace of change and shifting social landscapes. Hold before us a vision of your kingdom to guide us through the midst of uncertainty. We will wait for the Lord. Our hope is in your word. Lord Jesus, you said that a closed heart shuts out your forgiveness. Confront our stubbornness with your grace and truth. In humility and peace, bring us to delight in you. We will wait for the Lord. Our hope is in your word. Lord Jesus, you called servants of your will, not just friends, but members of your family. Look in compassion on our brothers and sisters in their need. We place our trust in your mercy. We will wait for the Lord. Our hope is in your word. Lord Jesus, you prepare for your family an eternal weight of glory. Bring into your eternal presence all who have died trusting in you. raise us to life with you forever. We will wait for the Lord. Our hope is in your word. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Hymn CPWI 193, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Oh,
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Bless us, O God the Father, who has created us. Bless us, O God the Son, who has redeemed us. Bless us, O God the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us. O Blessed Trinity, keep us in body and spirit unto everlasting life. Amen. We pray that you will have a spiritually rewarding week. We pray that you will continue to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit and continue to give God thanks and praise for life. Please be safe. And so we leave you with "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands."